Never would I have thought that the day would come that if you wore a mask, you know, in the old days, if you wore a mask when you went into the store, people looked at you with great suspicion. As Richard said, like a convention of thieves. Nowadays, if you go into a store and you don't have a mask on, you're looked with suspicion. And I look around, I see everybody's got their mask on today. So thank you for complying. I want you to do me a favor. Would you stand up, please? Let me invite you to stand. And if you would, we've got a brand new camera that we're using to broadcast all of this. Would you just turn and face that camera and wave at all our friends and family out there and say, God bless you all. God bless you all. Great job. Thank you, and be seated, please. Well, we are not alone. We are not alone because the Lord is with us in a powerful way through His Holy Spirit. And in the days to come, I felt led of the Lord to teach and preach on a series called Rise Up. I'm just going to call it Rise Up. Rise Up. Meet the challenge. Now, when I was younger, my brothers used to tell me, grow up. Would you just grow up, you know? But that admonishment has stayed with me to encourage me to mature as a believer, as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. And the one who's encouraging me to rise up and grow up, if you will, is the Holy Spirit of God. So I'm going to be preaching about the work of the Holy Spirit today. And then the following Sundays, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all areas that the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our life. And the idea there is to let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you into maturity as a Christian, because the challenges don't stop. The challenges continue until the day you die. You will be facing new horizons and new challenges that will come your way. I told someone sitting over here this morning, I said, we adapt and overcome. That's kind of what we do in the Army. We adapt and overcome. But as a believer, we don't just survive, we can thrive during these challenging times. And I pray that this message will bless you as it's already been a blessing to me. To Galatians chapter 5, if you will, let's read beginning in verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. I find in modern days that we're afraid to speak on the Holy Spirit. Baptists particularly are afraid of the talk about the Holy Spirit because we're afraid there'll be a breakout and we'll all turn charismatic or something. Well, nothing to fear there. Nothing wrong with being a good Baptist-costal either, to be honest with you. The Calvinists are afraid of the Holy Spirit because something might happen that's not rational. And one thing Calvinists resist is feeling. It's all about logic. The Pentecostals are not so afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit because they major on it all the time. And so we struggle with the topic of the Holy Spirit. And there's really nothing to struggle about. We have this companion with us who is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Think about this. Very God dwells in you. Very God in His fullness, God who came and descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ when He was baptized, led Him into the wilderness to be challenged by the three temptations, was demonstrated through the signs that He performed all the way to the cross. That same very God is present in you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not alone. And that's why the Apostle Paul could say here that we have been crucified with Christ. There is a self that is dying away and a new self that is emerging. And we find the first work and role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to confront us about the need to change, the need to be different, the need to grow up, the need to mature, the need to rise up and become all that God has created us to be. Because I'm finding in my own life that if I'm not growing up, I'm regressing. I'm going backwards. I'm reverting to childhood ways. And the Apostle Paul talks about his growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about a personal struggle that he has with the Holy Spirit. He said, there's a part of me that wants to do right, and there's a part of me that still wants to do wrong. And as a believer, he said, there's this battle that's going on within me. And sometimes I have a hard time doing what's right. And other times I find myself giving in so easily to what is wrong, and I regret that. Oh, who will save me from this wretched man that I am? This torn, this wretchedness, this battle, this spiritual battle that we're all in. Paul said, who can save us from this? Then he writes, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first work of the Holy Spirit in our life is to confront us with the need to rise up and mature and become all that God wants us to be. And not just survive challenging times, but learn how to thrive in these times. Learn how to honestly thrive and flourish in the days that are most challenging to us. I appreciate Amanda's song, I Will Continue to Praise the Lord in the Storm. You know, there's a song out there by the group called Greater Vision. I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not, but boy, I love to hear them sing. And there's a song they sing called God Wants to Hear You Sing. When times get bad, when times get rough, when times are hard, God wants to hear you praise His name. God wants to hear you sing. We get so defeated and we get so burdened down and we get so withdrawn from the world and isolated. And God says, I need you to come out of that, and I need you to flourish. I need you to be a witness of what I am in you and who I am in you and what I can do through your life. When we are led by the Spirit of God, we are confronted with our earthly desires, Paul said. And we need to die away to those earthly desires. Now, when somebody comes to you like Nathan went to King David and told him a parable about the man who lost a sheep. David was very furious about the outcome of that story, and Nathan turned to David and said, you're the guilty man. When somebody does that to you, you've got a friend. If you've got a friend that can tell you like it is and remind you that you're a human being and that you have the nature of sin in your life, and that it's going to be a struggle the rest of your life, and you've got a friend. Somebody that can keep you humble. Somebody that can keep your feet on the ground. Somebody that will be honest with you. And that's the first work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we see that here in the book of Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, he says, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, in the Bible terms that Paul is using here, we have the nature of flesh and we have the nature of the Spirit that's living within us. And this old nature wants to follow its appetite. This old nature wants to follow its inclination to sin. But Paul says if we'll choose the Holy Spirit and be faithful to follow the Holy Spirit's leading, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are... Now he goes on to name these just in case we have forgotten our human nature side. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, uncontrolled anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. You think you'd be tired of naming them by now, but he keeps bringing them up. And he's saying, I'm reminding you, using these flags, that there are desires that you have within you that want to take charge of your life. And every time you give in to them, you regress. You go backwards. You go back to a five-year-old. You go back to being a child. You go back to being this person who was not born again. But Paul goes on to say, of these things I forewarned you, I've just also forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Eternity depends upon my relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit abides in those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's with us to warn us against those obstacles in our life that are going to regress us and bring us back to our childhood nature. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there because you want to enjoy the fullness of life, and the fullness of life comes through dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God. If someone confronts you, it is an act of love. And it's the Holy Spirit in you that keeps saying to you, that's not good for you. That you can do better. You can do more. You can come through this. You don't have to go there. I had a friend of mine one time, I asked him, a pastor friend, I said, brother, how do you fight sin in your life? And named Barry Washington's who it is. Barry spoke at the Man Up session there in Litchfield here just a few weeks ago. And Barry said, well, Pastor Tom, he calls him Pastor Tom. He said, Pastor Tom, I just tell the devil, not today, devil. Not today. And that's been a blessing to me to hear that, to know that, number one, he faces temptation too. And number two, he can just simply tell the devil, not today. Today's not your day. Today's the day I'm going to get victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first work of the Holy Spirit in our life is to confront us about those obstacles, those temptations, those things that are going to flare up, and our flesh is going to say, I want that, I need that. And the Holy Spirit's saying to us, that's not good for you. That's not good for you. Not today, Satan. Secondly, the Holy Spirit in our life transforms us. It is Him that is making us more like Jesus Christ. Now, what is God's goal for you? What is God's will for you? What does God want for you more than anything else? Simply this, that you would rise up to become the person He's created you and gifted you to be. We're not all gifted the same. We all have our strengths. We all have our struggles. But each of us has been given the Holy Spirit of God to bring praise and honor to Him through these spiritual gifts. And as we exercise these spiritual gifts in ministry, we are fed by God's Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to find out what your spiritual gift is, try different ministries in the church. That's one way you can do it. Now, you can take a test. These are all online. You can download a test and decide what the Holy Spirit's gift is in your life. But I think you're really convinced of the Holy Spirit's leading and giftedness in your life if you will get involved in a ministry that feeds you back. Now, God called me to preach. And when I don't get to preach, I am frustrated. I just got to preach. There's something in me that says you need to be preparing another sermon. You get ready to deliver God's word. And when I don't get to preach, I am frustrated. But what I'm preaching, I am exhilarated. I am energized. I'm flourishing. Not because people out there are listening to me. It's a scary thing to preach. I want you to know that. It really is. I mean, you're standing up here and people are reading you from head to toe, and you're just simply exposed to the public. Do you know what the one fear that's greater than the fear of dying? Public speaking. It really is. It's stronger than the fear of death itself. But I'll tell you, because God's put it in my heart and God's called me to preach, I flourish. And I'm energized. And when I'm through preaching, I'm tired. I'll go home, eat a little lunch, take a little nap, and kind of get refreshed again. It's exhausting, but it's exhilarating at the same time. I'm fed back. So as I give in preparation to preach the Word of God, I'm also exhilarated as I'm sharing God's Word with you. And what helps me more than anything else is to see you all out there and see you respond. Now, Jimmy is probably sticking his tongue out at me, and I can't see him. I can't really tell, but I doubt if he is. I think he's praying for me. I think he's wanting to be encouraging today. I'm energized. I'm energized. If you are energized by students, particularly children, working with children, being around children, that may be your very special gift. If you're energized by teaching God's Word, and you see the response of students, that the light comes on, you know, and people go, oh, yeah, I see that now. That energizes you, because what God has laid upon your heart has been received by the people that you're sharing with, and there's energy in the room now, and a synergy, if you will, a kind of a combination of God's Holy Spirit, God's Word, and you're being gifted to share that. That's a synergy there that creates an atmosphere of learning and growth. We had a class in our church one time, ran about 50 on Sundays, and I said, I believe the only reason people came to that class is because they wanted to hear what was going to be said this Sunday. Something funny was going to happen. Something entertaining was going to happen. A lot of people came just to hear people go at it, you know, on Sunday morning. But out of that came a huge fellowship in the church, and a huge a friendship in the church, and it energized people. And so it is with the gift of teaching. Now, the Bible lists several of these gifts, the gift of administration. I'll be the first to confess that's not my gift. I have to work on it all the time. I am not energized by church administration. I'm just not. Other people are, but I'm not. I have to have people around me that are smarter than me. I have to have people around me that like deadlines. I need people around me that can hold me accountable. And so when I have this sheet of paper that I put everything down on that I need to be doing, I don't even use the word administration. I just don't even use it. I use the word leadership. Now, I like that word. So I'm energized by that. So what I'm trying to share with you, God has so many ways to fill you with His Spirit in such a way that you minister through the power and the strength of the Spirit of God uniquely in you. And it energizes you. I think one of the reasons that we miss each other so very much, and I do miss you. I miss you, those of you who are listening by TV. I miss you. I miss seeing you here. I want to see your faces. I want to see your smiles. I want to feel your hugs. And we miss all of that. But the synergy that's created when we minister out of our gifts through the Holy Spirit brings a fellowship and a cohesiveness to the family of God that you cannot find anywhere else. In fact, the Bible says there's no limit to operating out of these fruits of the Spirit. Now, there's no limit. No limit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are no limits to these fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what's God doing in us? He is conforming us to the image of Christ. We're being transformed from glory into glory. We're being transformed to become more and more like Jesus Christ. The truth is, we'll never be perfect, but we are being perfected. And that word perfect comes from the term teleos, which means goal or purpose or end. And God's end for us, God's teleos for us, is to become like Jesus Christ. So you're on a lifelong journey. You never really graduate from this journey, this pilgrimage of following Christ and being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But it begins with a head knowledge of the Lord and a transformation of the mind that moves into a transformation of our choices and the behaviors that we make. Every decision that you make, we call these behaviors, every choice, every decision that you make begins with a thought. It begins with a thought before it comes out as an action. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, to let our minds be conformed and transformed by the Holy Spirit so that our behaviors are pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our decisions are pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our choices and our behaviors become our testimony. And our testimony needs to reflect Jesus Christ. Now here it is, Memorial Day weekend. I looked up the other day some recipients of the Medal of Honor. And we have 60 in Kentucky. 60 recipients of the Medal of Honor. Going all the way back to the Civil War. But one of these stood out in my mind. He's a veteran of the Vietnam War. Died in 1969 when he was serving in North Vietnam in a reconnaissance mission in the infantry. And this soldier named Sergeant Fleek, F-L-E-E-K, Charles Fleek. This soldier was on a team to search down the north of Vietnamese. They were going through the woods undetected. And the idea was that they would ambush the North Vietnamese. And as they approached the enemy was approaching them, and the enemy picked up that something wasn't right. And they began to fire instead of the American troops firing first. And a grenade landed right near Sergeant Fleek. He made a decision just that quick. I mean, just that quick. Didn't have to think about it, didn't have time to think about it, but he made the decision to jump onto that grenade. And when he did, it exploded, he lost his life, and saved 8 fellow soldiers. Would I have done that? Would I have been that quick to give my life for somebody else? I don't know. I hope I would. I hope I would, because when you go into battle, you have to understand you've already died. The first person you died to is your drill sergeant. You do everything he tells you to do. He's in charge. Second person you die to is your fellow troops, because you'll do anything to save their life, and they'll do anything to save your life. And then when the time comes to actually give your life, perhaps you've already made enough decisions in that direction, you'll be able to do it. I hope I'm never called on to do that, and I hope none of you are either. But thank God for people like Sergeant Fleek. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, who was willing to leave heaven and came here on earth. And he came to give his life for you and for me. And he did that so that we could become like him. We had not the strength to do that. We had not the wherewithal to do that. We had not the power to do that. But we are transformed to be like him because we have died to an old self and we have now risen with Christ. And whatever sacrifice we're called to make, whether it be a sacrifice of tithing, a sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of talent, a sacrifice of, you just name it, We're willing to do it. We're willing to give. We're willing to serve. We're willing to go. Because that's what Jesus would do. He gave his life to the Father first, and then he could give his life for us. And so finally, the third work that we need to remember about the Holy Spirit, he confronts us, he transforms us, but he also accompanies us. We are not alone. Wherever we go, God, very God, is in us and with us. We are not alone. And wearing a mask is a small sacrifice, isn't it? Compared to what he was called on to do for me. And to share my story with somebody else is a small sacrifice compared to what he's done for me. Everywhere I go, he goes with me. In fact, the word for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is the word paraclete. Para, one who walks along beside and accompanies us. Paraclete. And so he is with us and accompanying us wherever we go. Now, we are in a season in Akron Baptist Church, and this season has called for a lot of adjustments. But we're not alone. He is walking with us. He is guiding us. He is directing our steps. And we, in turn, can flourish. And the day will come when we will look back on this and see Bill over there in his mask. And we'll say, well, why wasn't that weird? Wasn't that strange? Wasn't that something that we went through all that? But the truth is, we didn't do it by ourselves. We did it through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And wherever God gets the glory, it's worth any sacrifice that we make. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice for our sins. And Father, help us to be just as giving as Jesus was. Help us to be more like the Heavenly Father who was generous and gave of himself through Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for walking with Akron Baptist Church during this time. These are odd times, and we're just kind of off schedule. But Lord, we will get through this. We will be a better church. We will be a stronger church. We'll be a church that can say to the world, we were faithful, because that's all you ask us to do, is to be faithful. Bless our efforts today, Lord, to praise you and to worship you, because you truly are worthy of all praise and glory that we have to offer. And may we rise up. May we rise up from this time of uncertainty, this time of anxiety, and Father, may we flourish and overcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.